Welcome to Gracious Words. Gracious Words is taken from the weekly women's Bible study taught by Cheryl Broderson at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
We behold your glory, God, in the face of Christ. It shows us who you are, revealing who you are.
On today's program, we'll see Paul call Philemon to a powerful choice. To receive Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. In doing so, he becomes a living example of the heart of God to the world.
We will come before you, Lord, in wonder, wonder. We will fall on our knees and surrender. We surrender to you.
And now, here is part two of Cheryl's message, titled, Living Vignettes.
The government was so afraid of slave uprising, slave results, that their solution was to take more and more and more rights and the humanity away from slaves, and then to publicly punish runaway slaves in the greatest and most barbaric ways. In fact, most victims of crucifixion were either rebels of the state or runaway slaves. When Paul wrote to Philemon and made this request, he was defying the social construct, the social conditions, and the cultural norms of his time. But he was inviting Philemon into a great drama, which together they could display the love, the forgiveness, the transformational power, and the grace of God. Paul says, partner with me in this. This can be good. Philemon, we can set a standard. We can make the earthquake. In Oxford, England, there's this monument to Latimer and Ridley. They were two men who were burned at the stake for the gospel, actually for having a Bible. And they were burned at the stake, both of them together. And before they died, I think it was Latimer turned to Ridley and said, Latimer, today we will light such a flame in England, one that could never be quenched. In other words, Latimer was saying to Ridley, we're part of a great drama that will have a rippling effect for years to come. Hundreds of years to come. This drama would not only be played out before Apphia and Aristarchus, Philemon's family, but before the church that met in Philemon's house. This is in verses 1 through 2, but also the whole church, all the saints, the city of Colossae, and the world would also see this. This is so revolutionary for this time. And Paul is not trying to cajole, manipulate, force, or even order Philemon to do something that Philemon does not want to do. He is inviting Philemon into the great vignette in which Paul, the aged and the prisoner, and Philemon, the slave owner in Colossae, can show the world the love, the forgiveness, the transformational power, and the grace of Jesus Christ. It will be played out. So from a jail cell in Rome, the old apostle writes a letter on behalf of his newly begotten son in the faith. Now what's interesting is the Talmud, which Paul knew really well, says, if one teaches the son of a neighbor the law, This is the same as if he had begotten him. So Paul, in leading Onesimus to Jesus and then teaching him the gospel, he became a father, according to the Talmud, to Onesimus. Onesimus had belonged to Philemon. He had lived in Colossae. In fact, in Colossians chapter 4, Paul makes reference to Tychicus coming with Onesimus, and he says about Onesimus, he said, Onesimus, who is one of you, a beloved brother, one of you. By intimation, Onesimus had stolen property from Philemon, verse 18 of Philemon. However, when he was in Rome, Onesimus had encountered the Apostle Paul. The how is not told us, and many have suggested a host of scenarios in which this happened. Your group probably did that too. But somehow Onesimus had received the gospel, and it had transformed him from being useless to being a benefit and a blessing, not only to Paul, but to the Lord and to the church. Now Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon with Tychicus, probably to protect Onesimus from bounty hunters. They are also carrying the epistle to the whole Colossian church. Remember the church that met in Philemon's house? As well as this personal letter to Philemon. It kind of reminds me of how, you know, your kindergarten teacher used to pin that letter on the back of you that was to go to your parents. It's almost as if, you know, Onesimus is carrying his own letter of introduction and instruction to Philemon. Paul appeals to Philemon to forgive Onesimus, his former slave, to receive him not as a servant, but as a brother in Christ, and then to put any debt Onesimus might have incurred on Paul's tab. It's not just Paul's appeal to Philemon that we're interested in, but the way Paul appealed to Philemon that I want to draw your attention to. By way of reminder, Paul does not manipulate, but he invites. It begins with Paul reminding Philemon of who Philemon is in Christ. You see, I think that's our first place where we go wrong. We have to know what our role is. Who are we? But who are we in Christ? This is pivotal to everything else that will follow. My mistake is when I forget who I am in Christ and I think, I've got rights. And I realize, oh no, I gave those rights up to the Lord. Actually, I had that epiphany even as I was at the hospital. I've got this thing called Meniere's, and I've got this, you know, these adhesions. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I think I thought I was my own for a while, but I refuse to be a slave to Meniere's, and I refuse to be a slave to these adhesions. I am a child of Jesus Christ. I belong to you. This is who I am. I'm yours. So these are tools for you to use for your glory. These will not define me, but I will give them to you for your use, for whatever drama, and I've had some drama, you want to use these in. I mean, I think it really shows something amazing when the Holy Spirit overwhelms you, so you're thanking the girl who's putting the nasal tube down your nose and, you know, feeding it to your, sorry, I told you I wouldn't do it, but just one won't hurt, to your stomach, and you're saying, thank you so much. You did such a good job. I mean, it's miserable, but that nurse was amazing. One try. Last time it was 5 tries. I really appreciated this one. Be pulled into this drama to live it out, to walk it out. It requires that you know what your identity is and who you are in Christ. This is who Philemon is. This is who you are. Beloved friend, fellow laborer, verse 1. Host of the church in Colossae, verse 2. The one who helps the church, the one who facilitates the church so they can meet, the one who's taking a chance by letting all these believers be in his house, the recipient of God's grace and peace, verse 3, a subject of thanksgiving in Paul's prayers, verse 4, a beacon or example of love and faith in God and God's people, verse 5, a recipient of all good, God's good gifts through Jesus, a refresher of the hearts of the saints. This is when I knew I was supposed to teach this. The literal rendering of this in the Greek is a healer of the bowels of the saints. Thank you. It's exactly what I need. It's what I'm praying for. A healer of the bowels of the saints. Paul then talks about his own authority and identity. He has the authority to be bold, but that is not needed. Verse 8, he's aged. Doesn't that give some of us just a little pause for joy? And he's also imprisoned. I mean, does that sound like authority? From prison, and I'm old. He's not ordering. I'm asking you, because you're my friend, because you love Jesus. Paul continues by citing the transformation in Onesimus. He's his son, begotten to him while Paul is in chains, verse 10. He was the unprofitable, but the transformation now that he's profitable, and he's profitable to Paul, and he will be profitable to Philemon, verse 11, and dearly cherished by Paul, verse 13. This is someone that I dearly cherish. There's something about being loved that kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, be nice to them. They're my friend. I love them. You're like, don't just treat them like anybody. They go to my church. You know, I love them. This is an incredible person. I tend to tell everybody's testimonies because I'm so, I want people to know this is an extraordinary person. This isn't any run-of-the-mill person. These have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, being in the hospital and not having a husband who's coming to visit or who cares, you want to say, I do have friends and family. You know, I'm not a nobody. Paul is saying Onesimus is not a nobody. He's not just a tool. He's cherished. He's beloved. He's important to me. He's a blessing. He's transformed. He belongs to the Lord. Then the invitation. Philemon, for love's sake, verse 9, we have the opportunity to demonstrate love, to show what love does, what love looks like, what love sounds like. We have this opportunity for love's sake. Then he asked for Philemon's consent. Paul again refused to use his apostolic authority, and he refused to simply keep Onesimus. He wasn't going to keep Onesimus for himself to make him another slave. He was returning him, and in returning Onesimus to Philemon, he was bringing Philemon into the drama, into the play, into the opportunity. And here is the opportunity that Paul presents to Philemon. He has the opportunity to receive Onesimus back eternally as a beloved brother and not a slave, verse 16. As such, Onesimus as a brother, not a slave, would be a greater blessing to Philemon, to Paul, to the Lord, and to the church. He's inviting him into the opportunity to work with Paul in this. As he says in verse 17, count me as a partner working alongside you. He has the opportunity to place any debt, either forgive it, that Onesimus has incurred, or to put it on Paul's account, verse 18. He has the opportunity to show Paul his gratitude for his own salvation, verse 19. Finally, he has the opportunity to bring divine joy to Paul, spiritual joy, without any other source but the Lord, verse 20. And finally, he has the opportunity, verse 20, to heal Paul's bowels. That phrase, refresh my heart, is actually heal my bowels or restore my bowels. This is the opportunity. Paul is absolutely confident that Philemon would enter into this vignette. That Philemon would not only receive Onesimus, but he would even go beyond what is asked, verse 21. And that Philemon and Paul's relationship would even be enriched by this opportunity. Verse 22, because Paul is asking Philemon, get the guest room ready for me because I'm coming. But Paul is also confident that Philemon was praying for Paul's release and that those prayers would be answered so that Paul, even as Onesimus was set free, Paul would be set free from prison and come and spend time in Colossae with Philemon. Again, this great drama was played out before Philemon's family, Apphia, his wife, Archippus, possibly his son, the church that met in his house, the whole city of Colossae. People would hear, not only then, but up to the present day, of Philemon's extraordinary act. During the abolition movement in the United States, Philemon was the key passage that pastors used to stress the need, the extreme need to set the slaves free, that in Christ, if we're a Christian nation, there should absolutely under no circumstances be slaves. So the people would hear, but also in Philemon's time, other slaves would hear Onesimus' testimony. And that in Christ, every man, every slave is set free. That in Christ, all men and all women are equal. Masters would hear and wonder at such an act. And what would cause someone like Philemon to do such a thing and to go against convention? Believers would hear and be convicted and reminded of the transformational love of Jesus Christ and moved to show that same love. In conclusion, God is calling all of us into this drama. And we all have a part to play. He's written out a script for each of us. And he's given each of us a role. And it begins by knowing, what is this role? What's my identity? Who am I now in Christ? Who am I? The set is your life. The conundrums, the crises, the conditions, the hardships, it's your life. This is where we play it out. Are you a mom? Play it out there. Are you the mother of a runaway prodigal? That's where you play it out. Whatever you're going through, whatever. This is your play. This is your opportunity. Take your role by finding your identity in Jesus Christ. And then, because you are in Christ, your script is love, forgiveness, to show that uniqueness that is in you through the transformational power of Jesus Christ and grace. Again, we accept this role by knowing our identity in Christ, knowing the one who is calling us. None of the circumstances of our life came because we're victims or because, you know, Satan got one in on God. There is not a circumstance in your life that God can't turn around for glory. There is not an iota of suffering that God can't use for glory. It is all about, will you accept the role? Will you give him the conditions of your life? Will you give him the setting of your life? Others are watching, and this is your opportunity. When I was a teenager, as Chuck Smith's daughter, I felt like I lived in a fishbowl. Like just every place I went, I ran into Christians. But there were some who would, I was constantly being criticized, just constantly. I wore a two-piece bathing suit once, and oh my goodness, I almost received public shame for that. It was crazy. It was just the way that my life was. And I remember complaining in prayer to the Lord. And I remember the Spirit of the Lord speaking to me and saying, Cheryl, this can either be an opportunity for you to show others how to walk with me, or it will be a curse for the rest of your life. Your choice. And I said, well, opportunity, of course. I'll do it as an opportunity. And then no longer was it a curse, like, quit watching me, quit looking at me. It's like, look at me, I love Jesus. Look at me, I'm going to church because I love church. Look at me, I'm going, you know, I went to church like every night of the week. I loved church, loved it. And it became an opportunity. In the same way, the conundrums of life can turn into a divine opportunity or a curse. It depends on whether we will accept the role that God is asking us to take, that he's inviting us to take, that he's putting before us. If we accept these roles, we have the opportunity to partner with God, to work with God, to bring glory to the work of Jesus Christ, to show that Jesus is alive by our love, by our forgiveness, by the transformation in us, and by grace. We can showcase this to our families, to the church, to our community, to the city that we live in, and ultimately to the world. If we do, we have the opportunity to set this example for others. But not only that, you have the opportunity to heal the bowels of others. Had to get that in. Sorry, because I need that right now. And you all have that opportunity. And Jesus is inviting you into it. Isn't that like awesome?
Paul urged Philemon to receive Onesimus not as a slave, but as a beloved brother, a radical invitation into gospel transformation. This moment wasn't just about reconciliation. It was a chance to live out grace, forgiveness, and Christ-like love in full view of the community. Just as Philemon was called into God's redemptive story, so are we, invited to embrace our identity in Christ and reflect his mercy in the everyday settings of our own lives. We hope you have been blessed by today's Bible study. For more information about the Gracious Words radio program and the teaching ministry of Cheryl Broderson, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. Coming up next time on the Gracious Words program, we'll discover the good news of experiencing the reality of Jesus as we begin a new series, Jesus Magnified, in the Gospel of Luke with Cheryl Broderson. We do hope you make plans to join us. Again, for more information, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.